people in it. It was called the Marathon Class, and it met in the chapel. And then Don came on board. I got to be part of the small group that got to interview and hire him. And then from there, the singles class, as you know today, is just the singles ministry is gigantic now. And from that, the Married Young Adult Ministry has benefited because so many of those folks have gone on to be part of the Newlywed or Close, and then part of the Married Young Adult Ministry. So my testimony and my story is that I got to be a part of the singles young adult, got to teach for 7 years in that, and got to multiply through one class. About 9 different classes came out of it. And then met my wife, and we went part of the Newlywed or Close class. We stuck around to help for an extra year with Ken and Cindy Kapp. We always joked that we were the remedial class. We needed it twice. And then we jumped out and launched we were part of a new married young adult class that formed. And then through that class, we multiplied at least a couple classes out of there.
Veritas, Blueprints, et cetera.
Yeah, so I've been a part of seeing God do neat things through multiplication. So we're excited to be here tonight. What I plan to do is just go through some kind of bedrock foundational stuff, and then some real application points that you'll be able to hear. And then we're going to leave about 10 or 15 minutes at the end so you can ask us questions and just talk about what you're seeing in your class and about some challenges that you're facing or some different things. So we want to open the floor up for discussion. So before we get started, anything you wanted to add to that? Did I miss anything? We got 3 kids, and they're wonderful, and they're 7, 6, and 3, so life is busy. But good. Let's go to God in prayer. God, thank you so much for this night. Lord, I pray that you would move in this place, that your spirit would be present and speak to each person where they are. Each one of us comes in here with different stories. Each one of us comes in here with different situations going on in our class. But God, you have entrusted us to be servants and ministers in your house. And so, God, I ask that you would empower us with boldness, to not be afraid of the different challenges we face, but to realize that we are stewards for a very, very short period of time on this earth, and that while we're here, we want to be good servants, and we want to use the resources you've given us to your glory and to your renown. And so, God, I pray that you would speak to us through your word and Joshua here tonight, that we would be encouraged by what you're doing in our ministries, and God, that you would give us courage to go out from this night and to lead our class as well. I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Lord, this is your time and your place. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. All right, so the first thing we're going to do is just kind of give a little story of what it was like to announce the birth of our child, and I'm going to turn the corner into what we're going to talk about tonight. So Brandy's going to share.
So when we found out we were pregnant with our first, who is now 7 and a half, it's kind of this little inside story, this little secret. We were the only two that knew, but we were excited to tell everybody. So we got the ultrasound picture, we got the little bibs that said about grandma and grandpa, wrapped it all up as for a Christmas present. Thankfully it timed just right with Christmas. I was about 7 weeks at that time. Put it under the tree, made sure it was the last gift for my parents to open. They opened it, of course everybody went crazy. It was just this fun excitement, just this awesome time. There's always excitement that comes with announcing something new, announcing birth. So we want to use that analogy as we move forward with the lesson today.
So there are lots of different ideas about how to start new LBS classes, how to start new grow groups, how to start new ministries and new churches. But at the common heart of it all is to start new units and to start new and to create rebirth. And the theme that we got going here is to plant and to grow and to raise up something new. And this is a mindset more than anything. To have that vision in your class, and we're going to talk about this throughout our night here together, is just to have a kingdom mindset that we're not called to just have the best class in the church. We're not called to just have the best group or the best socials or have the best class where we hold on to people. Our mindset is that we are going to raise up people, that we're going to raise them up to use their spiritual gifts and then put them to work and then put them out there and push them out of the nest. And so it's a mindset more than anything that you need to have as a director. Again, you've been, or as a leader in your class, we've been entrusted with the resource of this class for a short period of time. And we want to do a good job of casting this vision. So where does that come from? Why do we want to multiply? And I'm going to start off with that. So why multiplication? And of course we go back, it's easy enough to go back to the one who told us to do that, and that's Christ himself, right? The Great Commission. Go and make disciples. And then also right there, the angel does it when Mary and Mary go to the tomb, right? And so when they come there, they're coming to the tomb, and he says, come and see. come and see that he is risen, and then he turns it right around and says, now go and tell. And it's that healthy balance of come and see, come and be a part of what God's doing here in this class, now go and tell. And so we don't want to just create a place where we huddle up and just have one place where it's fun and we're just doing life together and that's it. I got my friends and that's it. We want to have this healthy rhythm where we're having people come and see, and we are doing life together, but the end goal of this thing is not to just have one class. Our goal is to multiply and to reproduce. And so that being the bedrock of what we do is what we're going to look at tonight. So we want to look at tonight just some of the keys to successfully multiplying our LBS class. And I'm going to use Joshua 1. We're going to use Joshua 1 as our text. If you are ever in a place where you're multiplying a class, this is a great chapter, just Joshua 1. And I'm going to have you, if you've got your Bible, just write some notes in the margin about how this applies directly to how and why we do what we do. And so Brandy's going to read it. Bear with us. It's a little long, but it's going to be the text that we use to go through what we're going to share tonight. So,
after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.
Okay, so if you got your Bible right there, those first six verses, you can just put lead with courage. Okay, so the verse six says be strong and courageous. And so as a leader, when you're looking to multiply a class, the first thing you got to know is that it's going to take courage to do this. Not everybody's going to be supportive of that. Once you've got a class that's stable and everybody's got their place and you've kind of got your community, and then you as a leader say, you know what, we're going to launch a new class, and all that they're thinking is, you're destabilizing my world. You're about to wreck my social patterns, and you know, they've seen the birth of my child. I don't want to lead. I'm not going to. So there's going to be a lot of fear that automatically comes up in people's mind. And so the first thing you got to know when you're leading with courage is don't fear change. And so in this text here, we know Moses is dead, and now the new leader, Joshua, is about to rise up. And one of the greatest challenges that faces us as leaders is to replace ourselves. It's to replace and raise up new leaders. That's one of the greatest challenges you're gonna face, and that you need to be willing to train and to be willing to raise up new leaders. And so this truly, like I said earlier, is a mindset of having a kingdom mindset, that my role here is not just to create great socials. My goal and our goal as a leadership of this class is to identify people's spiritual gifts, raise them up, and then eventually launch a new class. And so the key here also is to learn to serve before you lead. And Joshua surely did that. He served under Moses' leadership for 40 years. Now, hopefully that's not what you're having to do. But the church is a beautiful place to get people to serve and get people to use their spiritual gifts. When we were leaders of the class, we would have people, we would make up roles for them, right? So we wanted people involved in every area where they had it. They had the gift of hospitality, man, you're going to be leading our small groups. If you had the gift of prayer, then you're going to be in charge of our prayer team. If you had the gift of teaching, we want you to practice teaching. So you want people to be practicing and using their spiritual gifts. Now, again, there are a lot, and when you're leading with courage, you will get a lot of resistance a lot of times. And we've heard a lot of excuses. Brandy's going to, or not excuses, but a lot of reasons for fear. Some of the ones that we've heard, and I'll let Brandy share some of the ones we've heard.
Some of the things we've heard is, what if my best leaders leave? I've got great people in place. If they leave, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to do that. Or I don't have anybody to fill those roles. I was going to get ready to step down, and they were going to take my place. But now I'm going to push them out. So that changes things. It's just too hard emotionally, spiritually. I want to kind of stay with my friends, the status quo. It's too much, too hard. I don't have the time to do all that. It's going to take a lot of time to do it. Multiplication gave Paul great joy. Doesn't really give me great joy. I've got my friends. I'm good. We're good here. We have a very dynamic teacher currently, and if we send him off, what if the next teacher's not as good? What if my friends leave? We saw that in Veritas as we brought up new leaders, new teachers, new directors. As we pushed them out to start Inside Out, they were some of our best friends, and we had to see them go, which meant our Sundays looked different. We didn't get to see our same friends on Sundays anymore. Now, we're still friends with them. We got to see them for other things, but it changes the dynamics.
What examples, does anybody in here have examples of, if you've been through this, that you've heard or you've seen or you've felt yourself? Anything beyond what we've said? Okay, so you'll hear that, and one of the keys that you'll have to do is you'll be the one, if you are the director, you're in a position of leadership, helping your director, is to manage those emotions. Because you're going to be the one, you're the one leading this, that'll start to get, you'll be blamed for destabilizing people's world, right? It's amazing how it starts getting, you get arrows. I remember we felt like we were getting shot from every side and every angle, but it truly does take courage. It takes courage to do this, but it's again coming back to what God's word has called us to do. And so that's why you've got to be courageous. That's why you cannot fear change and be able to step out there and not be frightened by all those different things, because God will prove himself faithful. We've seen it over and over and over and over again. And for every one of those fears that I've had in singles ministry, and some, especially when singles, because you kind of want to be near the popular people, right? And it's oftentimes when you're in there, you're sending your strongest leaders and maybe the popular ones off. And you're like, gosh, I wish I was over there. Or if you're the one going and you're leaving everybody, it's a mix of emotions, and you just have to trust God. And he has always been faithful. I had to remind myself of this over and over again. God, you have always been faithful. When we do this, that you are going to create new bandwidth in my life, and you are going to bless, you're going to bring new folks into my world that I don't even know yet. And you're going to create a bandwidth that now I can meet new people, and we can welcome new people, and we can seek and serve the lost in ways that we've never been able to do. So God's always been faithful in that.
In a book that we have used called You Can Double Your Class in 2 Years or Less, it's by Josh Hunt, he says, it will involve saying goodbye to old friends so that you can befriend people who are not yet friends with Jesus. And so we just have to really continue to remind ourselves that. There are people that are just not in community with others, and they may not know Jesus the way we do. And so it's so important that there may be those times where we need to give up evenings with our friends so that we spend it with people who have no Christian friends. It's essential to the survival of the next generation. And it's important to think of the math a little differently. We don't want our goal to be from 10 people to 20 people in a class just to get our class bigger. We want to go from one group to two groups, and then from two groups to four groups, and then four groups to eight, and so on. So it changes the way we think about it.
Oh. All right, so the first thing, lead with courage. Second thing that we see is in verse 7. If you look at there, it says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave to you. And so the second one is just obedience. And this has got to be at the core of what we do. Again, we're going back to obeying the Great Commission. We're going back to Christ's call in our life. This is not Mike Cabra. This is not Jason Bonings. desire to destabilize the class. What we are looking at is we are looking at God's call to our lives to go and make disciples, to go and tell, and to multiply the kingdom of God. So be careful to obey. That's critical for the success of what your class is. And then secondly, just to believe God's promises. God's telling Joshua that you will lead these people. You will inherit the land. You will enter this land. You will have victory. And so you've got to believe that God's going to accomplish what he is doing in this church. That's not your responsibility. Your job is to step out in faith, just like the people of Israel did. They stepped out in faith. They didn't know how God was going to accomplish it. He just did. And so for us, it's the same thing. God, I don't know how this is all going to look. And right now, it feels like everything's unstable. But I know that you're gonna prove yourself faithful through this, and that you're going to raise up the leaders. I may not know it yet. I mean, we're sending she's a best social team leader, and I'm about to send her out the door. I don't know who's going to be my next person for that. And so there becomes a lot of uncertainty, but that's really where we step out by faith and let God do what he's going to do. The risk, unfortunately, many of us as leaders fail to take full possession of the spiritual riches that God has for us, and that's the book of Ephesians. Ephesians parallels Joshua, and so it talks about the spiritual riches and blessings we have in Christ, and God's going to multiply his kingdom. We just have to be obedient to do it. And the risk of us not doing it, the risk of us not raising up new leaders, is that we actually hold people back. Because you actually may have some very good directors in the class that are just waiting for the chance to be able to lead. And so if you're in that director role, you're holding them back. If you're in that role and they say, well, yeah, I can never be as good as them, you're just holding them back. And so you're really doing an injustice. So you want to raise people up and then push them out to lead. And that's the success that comes. When you are making fully devoted followers of Christ, when you're making disciples, and then you give them the chance to go out and make disciples as well, then that's when you know that you've really been obedient. So the next one, that's obedience. Preparation is our next one, and that's verse 11 where it says, get your people ready and get your supplies ready. So the third key here is just preparation and being ready. I remember, does anybody here know Stephen Murray? You know, he's on staff here. And Stephen, several years ago, I wasn't married yet, and he wasn't married yet, and we took a trip with about 18 of us and went to Colorado, and we were going to climb Mount French. If you're from Colorado, Mount French is one of those mountains that's right under 14,000 feet, and it's always a big deal if you climb a 14,000 foot mountain. That's kind of the mile marker. But we were going to climb this 14,000 foot mountain, and we had two guides that we had hired, and they were going to lead us up there. And they had this Toyota. It was a 4x4 with big mud tires on it, and we had rented two minivans. And when we saw the contract, there was clear language on there that clearly said that you are not allowed to leave paved road. Well, our base camp was going to be at 9,000 feet. Tree line is at 11,000 feet. And where the road ended was 7,000 feet. And our guides were like, you know, we could really save a lot of time if we just drove to 9,000 feet on this dirt road, which is a good road. So we were like, okay, you're the guides. We can surely trust you. And so we go off-road, and we're about a half mile to a mile along this road, which had these stumps. I mean, we are bottoming out. We just hear it hitting the bottom of these minivans because we're loaded down. We got 16 people and all our gear. And so these trucks were riding low, or these minivans were riding low. The guide was in the front. I was driving the minivan in the middle, and Murray was driving the van in the back. And so we're kind of a little distance between us, but I saw in front of me this truck go through what looked like a pond, it looked like a little puddle. And so he goes through it, I'm like, man, I don't know about that. So I took it as high up on the shoulder of this, I mean, the trees were tight, it wasn't a real road. So I took it as close to the trees as I could get it and go out. I look in my rearview mirror just in time to see Murray hit this puddle dead on, and the truck actually went in, and the water came up over the hood, over the top. And he baptized the minivan is basically what happened. The water went over the top of the truck, and he got about 15 feet, and the smoke just started coming out of the engine. And so, bad preparation. And our guides did not lead us well. We laid hands on the truck and tried to pray that God would bring this truck back to life. We camped right there to see if it would maybe start in the morning. No, this truck was dead, and we had to call a tow truck, come pull it off the side of a mountain. I mean, literally, we're a mile up in the woods. And so, but they didn't come after us for it. We actually called them and said, we hit some water, and we need a new truck, and they did. So hoping that God doesn't the statute of limitations is out on that. But the point is, good preparation is key. You've got to have good preparation. As leaders of your class, you need to be prepared, just like Joshua was. He had heard God say, you need to lead this people into the land, you're going to defeat the enemy, and you're going to claim the inheritance. And for us as leaders, we need to prepare our people and to what God is going to do. And that oftentimes involves us getting into the homes of people and explaining what God is doing and explaining to them why we're doing what we're doing. Now, we've got a couple of just key, just application points. Many of the points that we're going to share here come out of this little book called Great Expectations. And I got a box of them over here, so before you leave, if you want to grab one, you can. It's a real easy book. And basically, it has three expectations that they talk about. Expect new people every week. Expect people to say yes. And then expect your class to reproduce. And so we've got a lot of the points, a lot of the application out of here. So one of the things that they talk about is, how long should a class that's healthy expect before it reproduces? And what this book talks about, and what's been our experience, is that generally within 2 years, you should be looking for your class to reproduce. And the reason it's 2 years is because if it's after that point, people have generally become pretty comfortable with their own group, and they're not really seeking outward anymore. And they've now got their group, they're comfortable, they're coming, and you've probably experienced this in your class, that after 2 years, it gets pretty comfortable, and you're not as hungry for the new folks that are coming through. And so if you've got a big class, new people are coming in, and people are falling off, and you're like, man, I haven't seen Jason in 6 weeks. Where have they been? That's not a good sign. So about every 2 years, is if it's a healthy class, that's where you want to be looking. Now, if you've got a big class, you may think you're growing, but there's a thing this book calls about just churn. And there's about, in any healthy church or any healthy class, there's a churn that happens. About 20% of your class is going to leave just for different reasons. They'll leave. And then you're going to probably gain 20% just by people who are church shopping. That's just flipping. That's not growing. That's just your churn. So you've got to be honest with yourself. Are we really growing? Or are we really meeting new people? Or are we just in the cycle of churn?
So how do you know it is time to reproduce? Three things they talk about in this book is that the growth of the class has plateaued. You might have some high days, but on average, you kind of have a fairly predictable attendance. So you want to kind of watch out for that. Another clear indicator is that the room is full. And by full, not necessarily like 100% full, but like 80% full. Because at that point, you're not able to reach people as well, and there's not as much room for new people to come. And then another indicator is your class lacks energy, kind of what Mike was just saying about, you're not hungry anymore for new people to come. You've kind of got your group, you're comfortable, and you're not ready to reproduce.
One of the keys to successful launch, and this is something that we've seen over and over again, is something that the book actually gives it a name. It's called a 9-month apprentice. And so one of the things that you want to be working towards in your class is to find a replacement teacher. Okay, so an apprentice. And this has looked a little bit differently in the different ones we've done, but they've all been intentional about raising up a new teacher. So the way this has looked, Jason and Kendra are from the Siena campus as well, and so we're serving in a class together. And so we're doing this right now. Like, this is something that we're not just making this up. We're doing this right now. And so what we'll do is we'll prayerfully consider somebody to teach. Or it may look that we say, you know what, we're going to grab a book of the Bible, and we're going to give 6 different guys one chapter each, and we're going to let each one of those guys teach a chapter. And you'll start to see, or you start asking around, and somebody say, you know what, I really connected with Josh. I mean, something he said really connected with me. And so then you start praying about God, you know what, I think Josh may be a guy we want to talk to a little bit more. And then we'll pull Josh aside and say, Josh, you know what, here's what I'd like for you to consider. I want you to be our apprentice teacher for this class, and over the next 9 months, anytime I'm out, you're gonna step in and you're gonna teach, and then we're gonna let you teach when we are here, and we're gonna coach you through that process. And so that's a key to finding that person, and then let them teach and let them grow with the intent, purpose, and the end game is gonna be that After 9 months, our goal is going to be to reproduce a class. And so we're in that phase right now. It looks a little different in Siena right now. We're still trying to figure out, it's a church plant, but we're in that process, and the class knows that we're not going to stay the same. Our goal is hopefully in a year from now not to be the same that we are today, and that Josh is going to be a key part of leading a new class. He's going to be the next teacher of a new class. And probably the Bonings and us are going to help to figure out how this is going to look, but our goal is that we are raising people up and that we are going to multiply this class so that we can reach more people. Because we started this church in Siena not to just stay a little small group, but we hopefully will have a lot more people a year from now. And the only way that's going to happen is if we grow and we multiply and we reproduce. So getting an apprentice teacher is key. The second thing is having a curriculum and having a set curriculum. It's a whole lot easier to tell those six guys that we use the Warren Wiersbe series. It doesn't have to be, but it's a curriculum, it's a guide. So I want you to use this as your note. You just outline it, you can use this as your text. And then on Saturday, I'm gonna meet with you, or I'm gonna talk with you on the phone, and we're gonna go through your outline together, and then you'll teach on Sunday morning. So I am giving him every bit of the tools that I can to set him up for success. And so using a curriculum or using a guide you're going to set yourself up for success a whole lot easier than if you just say, just do whatever you want. Because then they're terrified. And if you just tell them, I just let God speak to me, and then whatever he lays in my heart, then I go get my commentaries and I start researching it and I just put it, you're going to freak a new teacher out. They're going to be too intimidated. But if you give them the material, you say, I want you to outline this, and I'm going to work with you on it, and I'm going to coach you through it, then it's a whole lot easier. And then when they get more and more confident, then they can get creative with how they teach. But set your new teacher up for success, and that's really the key. You really want to find that apprentice teacher. The number one barrier to this is a teacher that's just your team teacher or an associate teacher. That is not the same thing as an apprentice teacher. Team teacher and associate teacher is, and I've seen this in some of our classes here, they just want a sub for you. That's it. They just want a sub, but they don't have that long-term vision that in 9 months we want to reproduce. And then the associate teacher just wants to stay with you, and that's it. They don't want to ever leave. But it's okay to have that person, but you really need to have an apprentice teacher that you are raising up and that you are teaching to one day leave and to move on. Do you want to share anything there? Okay. All right, so that's preparation. Verses 12 through 15 is about, if you want to write this next to verses 12 and 15, this is direction and vision. And Joshua's going to make a distinction here. He's going to move from preparing his people and saying, get your supplies ready, to saying, in 3 days, this is what we're going to do, and this is where we're going to go. And so he's making a transition from preparation to vision. And your people have to have vision. They've got to know what you're doing, and they've got to know where they're going. In 1958, NASA was really struggling, and JFK became president. And the NASA, at that time, the USSR and America were in a space race, and we were struggling. JFK comes in and gives very clear vision. He says, by the end of the decade, we're going to put a man on the moon, and we're going to bring him back successfully. Go. And so he gave very clear vision, and then all of a sudden, NASA was motivated. And by the end of the decade, we had put a man on the moon and brought him back successfully. Joshua here is giving his people clear direction. He's telling them what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. So our goal and how that applies to us is we've got to give our people vision. We've got to be faithful and trust that if God has been faithful to us in the past, we've seen God move in the past. Joshua had seen God move in Egypt. He had seen God move at the Red Sea. And so he trusted that God was going to move again. We need to be in that same place by giving our people vision of what we're leading them to do. And so that's where we've been. And Brandy, I'll let you talk about some of the things here about vision.
So very important to cast the vision early and often. One analogy to think of is if you had a cup with holes in it and you continue to pour and it's just pouring out, you have to constantly pour in that vision because it can leak. People forget. People get used to their ways. They don't want change. So vision leaks. You just need to repeat it over and over and over to keep everyone focused on the same goal. We use terms like multiplication, birth a new class, reproduce, growth, expanding, launch, always avoiding things like divide or break apart, because that's the negative. We want it to be positive and reproducing the classes. And then as far as how to break the news to the class, it's very important that the teacher and directors are on the same page. There's one heart and one mind. And to tell the class that no one's forced to go one way or the other. You're not forced to stay or not forced to go. Everyone who wants to remain can, to kind of stay with what they know. There's no guilt trips. But we will need a few missionaries, so to speak, to go and be the core of this new class. Maybe somebody who's interested in socials that hasn't been able to do that, or prayer, or ladies' night out, or whatever it is. Very important that we have that core group to step out and go.
So you're generally going to see three different types of people that will respond when you actually do get to this place. There's going to be generally three different types of people who respond. The first group are those who want the adventure of being missionaries, that want to start something new. And there's just a type of people that want to do that. They're going to be your early adopters. They're going to be on board right away. They're like, here I am, Lord, send me. Right? I mean, they're the missionary types, and they're ready to go from the moment you start sharing that vision. They're the ones that are asking you, when are we going to start something new? When are we going to start something new? So there's going to be that group of people. Most people aren't like that. That's a smaller group. Those early adopters are a small group of people. There's going to be a second group of people that are interested in going, and they just like the new teacher's style better than the current teacher style. And that's great. And if you've ever taught, don't be intimidated by that. That's great. You want people to like the new teacher. You want people to like their style. You want people to go and support that teacher. It's hard sometimes when you've got a really strong teacher in place, and that teacher and the director have to be on board, because you want to reproduce. You don't want to just keep people locked in to one thing. And so you've got to really be in lockstep with your director that we are here to multiply. And you want to set that apprentice teacher up for success. Okay, so the second group are those folks that like the new teacher style. And then the third group is that every class, it always happens, there are a few people there that just have relational discomfort in the class. It's something they might have gotten sideways with somebody, or just they're godly people that for some reason it's just not, that's not where they need to be. And this gives them a gracious way to exit and go off and start something new. And so it's a healthy thing to just let those folks start in a new place. So those are the three different types of people who will respond and that you'll see when you start a new class. So that is vision and direction. It's a key piece. And then the last piece that I want to talk about is in verse 16 to 18. And this is the part where the men of Israel say, whatever you have commanded us, we will do it. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, we will obey you. And so what we see here is that there's incredible unity. One of my favorite movies, not a real biblical movie, but 300. It's about the Spartans. And if you've ever seen anything about the Spartans, right, they were the force. They were the dominant force, 650 BC. These guys from birth were trained how to be warriors. And they were unified. They would link arms together. They were a solid one organism, and they just crushed the enemy because they were so unified. And there is power in unity. And that's the same thing we see here in Joshua. These guys were unified. Joshua gave the vision, he gave the direction, and the people unified behind it. And we need to do the same thing for our classes. We need to be praying for unity. And this is where we literally had to go into people's homes and sit with them, because there's going to be a certain group of people that want to create dissension. And they want to create, they're going to try to stir things up, or they're going to slander you in the process of this, because they don't want to see this happen. And so you've got to be really on your knees in prayer that God creates unity in and through this process, because what you're trying to do is fulfill the Great Commission. Again, this isn't me trying to destabilize your world. It's me trying to be obedient to God's word and to create and to multiply his church. And again, it's a kingdom mindset that my life is short. And while I've got breath on this earth, I'm going to do everything I can to see his kingdom expanded. And in 50 years from now, the socials that we had better have just been an excuse to build relationships. They better have been an excuse just to build the body of Christ, and not just because we want to have good socials. My goal is that we use those things to multiply the body of Christ. So you ought to really be praying for unity. Why don't you talk about the celebration?
So when you want to celebrate this new plant, this new launch of a class, when the big day comes, or even like the weekend before, you make a huge deal of it. You want to bring both teachers to the front, get those core missionaries up there, pray for it, make it a big deal, make it a celebration. Start it like a family tree, just like we brag about kids and grandkids, and you want to brag about your class kids. And so you can even use a poster, put photos of your class, start making a family class tree. Even continue that vision of the 10-year plan. What will our family tree look like in 10 years? Continue to tell your class this. How many more classes will we have planted at that in 10 years? And think of that impact, the impact that would have on reaching new people.
And it's exciting. I talked to Kason White this afternoon, who's one of the teachers here of a class. And it was a class that was birthed out of our class that we are, one of the classes we led when we were here. And they have since multiplied a couple classes as well. So it's really exciting when you get to see what God's done as he's multiplying those classes. And you need to celebrate it. It sometimes can be intimidating, and you got to check your pride at the door. If the class that you've launched starts being really successful and you're now trying to rebuild the class that you're a part of, that can be an awkward feeling. But you need to celebrate that, and it's exciting to see what God's doing. I remember when we launched that new class, within 2 to 3 months, they were running almost the same numbers that we were, and we were both growing, and there was probably both classes combined had well over 100 people. And so we had already seen that God was multiplying the numbers because of us being faithful to launch that new class. I did a little analogy for the last class I was at, and I want to share it with you here. And then what we're going to do is just open it up for questions. We'll leave the last 15 minutes for questions, and we just want to sit down and talk about it. But one of the things that we talked about when do you launch, and there's a life cycle to classes, just like there's a life cycle to our lives as well. So if this is your birth, and then this is adolescence, and then this is adulthood, you want to be in your class, and this looks a little different for everyone, but like I said, generally it's about 2 years, and Brady really gave the markers, right? If your class is plateaued, or it's full, or it's just lacking energy, you really need to be thinking about what God's calling you to do as leadership of your class. But when you get to adolescence, anywhere in between here and here, you need to be really giving the vision to your class that we need to start thinking about multiplying or starting a new group. And this is a healthy place to start doing that. Ideally, you wanna launch a new class, and when you do that, this is a new beginning, not only for the new class, but also for you. Because now you've started over as well. Okay? Now, if you've both got that vision, then hopefully what this is going to do is they're going to start a new one, and then they're going to start a new one, and then they're going to start a new one, and then they're going to start a new one. And so now you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, whereas before you only had one. And then this compounds upon itself. And so that's the idea that you're trying to do, that you're trying to multiply the outreach that's going to happen. If you don't, and this happens all the time, and Bob on stage talked about this, right? He gave this example. He was in a class that went down the path. They passed adulthood, and then just like the normal cycle of life, they went into the backside of life, and ultimately, Ben and him came together and said, we're putting this baby to bed, and you just shut it down. Honestly, we had to do that with some singles classes. We just went in and said, guys, this is it. This class is stagnant, it's stale, there's no life. And we just stopped and said, guys, you go find some place to serve. Go into youth ministry, go into children's ministry, go find another class that's healthy. But it's done. And so you've got to really be looking to say, God, what are you calling us to do? Are we healthy? Are we here? Are we over here? If you're here, then you really got to start praying, God, what do we need to do to really be a healthy church? To start thinking outward again, to start thinking outreach-wise. But this is the life cycle that you'll see. You'll see it in churches. Churches do this all the time. If they're outwardly focused, our class is just booming right now because of how much we're looking out. Right? I mean, we've got missions going on all over the world. We're stretching ourselves so thin that, I mean, it's like we are constantly pushing the edges of what God can do. And God's blessing that, and God's multiplying that, because we're constantly starting and launching and multiplying, and that's, I mean, we're on steroids with that. But you'll also see churches that don't do that, and they'll enter into this decline, and then ultimately it'll die like anything in a natural life cycle. So that's just a little analogy that can kind of give a visual to what you want to be doing and what you want to think of. So, all right, with that, I'm gonna drink some water because I'm pretty much lost my voice. And I'm going to open it up just to questions, and I want to hear from you and hear what you're going through in your classes, and what questions you may have for us, or open it up to the room. These guys can help out for sure.
Got a question for you.
Yeah.
The lesson that you just kind of went through the outline, It really does target, it sounded like you were addressing specifically that adolescence to adulthood section of the life cycle curve.
Yep.
What if you're right at the birth?
That's a good question.
How do you set yourself up for success down the road?
Yeah, so basically, when do you start announcing that you wanna cast this vision, right? Now, you can launch too early. That's a key point too. You can, if you launch here or like right here, it's the same as adolescents having babies. It's a mess, right? Like you need to make sure you've got somebody that's spiritually mature leading your class. Like you need a fully discipled director and teacher leading the class, because if you get an immature person, then that's a mess. You can hurt people. Like, I mean, we've seen that, right? You've seen people who are immature leaders that get the reins of something too soon. And you can hurt people. You can spiritually hurt people. So you don't want to launch too early. You want to make sure you've got fully discipled followers of Christ. But when we start announcing that, we do start announcing the vision through this phase. So I told you the Bonings and we're in a class. We've already started. We started announcing this a year ago, that we are not here to just create the best class. That is never going to be the goal of our class. It's never going to be part of our vision statement. Our goal is that we are here to find out what your spiritual gift is, to raise you up, to put your spiritual gift to work, and then one day we hope to grow and then start new classes. I truly pray that a year from now we are not the same that we are now. That would be a failure, in my opinion. A year from now, I am hoping that we've got more new people, more guests that have come through, and that we are too full for the room that we're in, and that we are multiplying into two new groups. That's success. And the success that they now, two classes, have that same vision. Now, we may be out of room, and we're going to have to get real creative. And I know we're kind of facing that here at this, especially at the 11 o'clock hour or the contemporary service. We're physically out of room. So what do we do? Well, we've got to get creative to think, what are we going to do here? Because we can't just be boxed in. Now we need to start getting creative. And does that look like we go into the homes? How do we multiply, even though we might be physically out of rooms? So we start announcing it here. And that way, when it actually does come time to do it, they're not surprised. They've heard this for a year and a half, that our goal will one day to be. And even when Josh gets up to teach, people know that he's up there practicing. People know that you know, when we had the six guys coming up through to teach, we would even say, we're not expecting Billy Graham, but we're giving people a chance to teach. We're giving people a chance to do this. And I want to find out, personally, I want to find out who's got the gift of teaching. Now, they may be new and fresh and rusty, but you just start talking to people around the room, and they're like, man, he really connected, right? He had a sense of humor that people connected with. And so when I find those guys, I want to try to give them a chance to speak. And Jason does a lot of teaching. He's a teacher too. So, and we never know what's going to happen in the future. But we already know that there's coming a day where we're most likely going to have to, I mean, and that's hard. That's what Brandy was just saying. It's hard because it's with the people you're closest with that often have to take the challenge of going off and starting two new classes. So no doubt within the year, we will probably multiply and start a new class. That's just our expectations. And that's where it's really helpful to have the teacher and the director on the same page, because it's not a shock. It's not going to be a shock when it comes time to do it. We're already in the pathway of training our people to do it. So you may be here, and that's fine, but start telling them so that they're raised up right. And then when you get here, you don't have people rebelling on you. Because you do. You'll get to this, and churches have this all the time. People will start talking about vision and doing things, and you'll have the stodgy people that said, no, we've never done that before. And those are the churches that end up going, die. Now, fortunately, we have a church full of leaders that have this vision. I mean, you got William Taylor, Gerald Altick, and I mean, these guys are, if there was a scale from 1 to 10, I mean, they're like, vision. they live and breathe this cycle. So, yeah.
Don hands out that book. You probably know that. But.
Yeah. No, it's just, I mean, Don pretty much mentored me. I mean, he's the one that started me when I was 20. I mean, he That's why I live and breathe it, because I've seen it work. And Don is the, he's done more. When we started the singles measure, like I said, had 50 people in it in the marathon class, and we multiplied to the shed class. And then from that, when Don came on board, he brought this vision, and it's not him, it's what the Word of God calls us to do. It works for a reason. What other questions? What other things do you see? Or?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So when you're birthing a new class, what are some key leadership roles you need to have to go in a new class? And how do you decide, too, like, who stays in the old class, new class, dividing up basically the current leaders?
Yeah.
I think it's really important to not, I mean, the teacher is key. That comes first. I mean, I think it's really important to identify directors. I know in our case, before we kind of announced that we were going to do this new thing, I mean, we had put the vision of multiplication, but we took potential directors out to lunch. And so we have something for you to pray about. I want you to really think about this. We need you to let us know in about, a week or two if this is something that you would like to consider. So I feel like those two roles are most important. I think having, maybe prayer and socials, I think are probably my top two, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you had people that maybe were already working with your current social coordinators to plan events or current prayer coordinators.
In the director role, you have the new director, you'd be training them before you send them off, or you ask them to send them off?
It's great if you've got a solid assistant director, kind of the same thing, an apprentice director couple.
That knows they're going to be taking them in class.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what's the analogy? I do it.
Yeah, so there's this analogy, and this is a Don one, I think, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I do it, you do it with me, I'll do it with you, you do it. So, the first one's I'm doing it, and you're doing it with me, then I'm doing it with you, now you do it. And so it's that handoff process. You never just want to be, I do it, you do it, because they'll fail. You want them to get used to doing it, and then you let them go on their own.
Okay.
So, but yeah, a director and a teacher, you got to have a good solid core there. And then and then as people come, they just start filling in different roles in the class. Socials is always unfortunately, I mean, you'd love for it to be prayer and missions, right? I mean, that seems to be, those are the key disciplines of our faith. Unfortunately, I think just because we are shallow people a lot of times, socials is a key part, but it also brings in community, because the first thing you're trying to do is bring community.
You want to
build community, and so that's why that plays such a key role. But we always used to say, I mean, you're doing socials and you're doing things. The point of that is to build relationships. So you're being intentional with those things more than anything. And even like missions, like we're going to go to Second Mile, we're going to do things, but we're going to go out to dinner afterwards. So we're combining missions with a social aspect as well to build that community.
I know that when we've been a part of a launch, when Veritas launched Inside Out, before Inside Out started, we knew it was happening, and the call was pray about this, see what, as a couple, see where the Lord's leading you, and if you feel led to be a part of this new class, we want you to tell us.
Yeah.
Just so that then, before the new class starts, you can huddle up.
Mm-hmm.
You can go, okay, here's the game plan,
mm-hmm.
They
can start meeting and praying together.
Absolutely. And even if there are some couples that maybe don't have a role,
mm-hmm.
they're still a couple that's committing to, I'm going to be here in this class every Sunday. I'm committing to be in this class.
Mm-hmm.
So that when the first Sunday comes, it's not the teacher and director going, I hope someone shows up, There are people committed to being there on that first Sunday.
Right.
It's important.
It's really good.
Nick, you had a question?
Yeah, so I'm director of a class that's about 4 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's finally gotten past that kind of shaky period where it's starting to kind of feel pretty solid now. And one of the things I've struggled with is kind of casting a vision.
Yep.
I feel like my vision will sound too generic,
mm-hmm.
But I know why I started the class, and I feel like I've accomplished that. Help me, how do you kind of cast that vision
mm-hmm.
to people? It doesn't sound like, we've heard that before.
Mm-hmm.
That's something kind of fresh and new.
Mm-hmm. Again, it comes back to what are you trying to accomplish here, right? This is not your class. You're just a steward for a little while.
Yeah.
And I'm serving in this role, but my commitment is to the Lord. And so he's called us here to raise up disciples. So fully devoted followers of Christ that then reproduce. And so you're not reinventing the vision. That is the vision that Christ has called us to. And so people just need to be reminded of that we're doing this because of what Christ has called us to do, which is to seek and to save the lost. Now, it's a benefit, and it's sure fun that we do get to enjoy community. And that's just a blessing from the Lord that we get to be part of the body of Christ, and we enjoy fellowship, and that's certainly something to be cherished. Yet at the same time, if that's all we focus on, I heard an analogy by a pastor once that said, you don't want to be enjoying swimming around in the deep end of the pool while people are drowning in 2 inches, right? So you can be enjoying the fellowship of community. You can be enjoying the fellowship of the body of Christ and your core group. And there are people coming in these doors who have broken marriages, who are hurting, and we're swimming around in the deep end of the pool and they're dying. And so you've got to constantly remind people of why we're doing what we're doing. And that, I don't know if you really have to invent something fresh on that. That's just what we're here to do. That's what we're called to do as believers in Jesus Christ. So it's more a matter of just reminding them of the purpose and the reason why you've done this in the first place and why you're leading this class in the first place. And hopefully your motives are pure and that's the reason you're in it. And you can tell. I mean, you can tell people who are in it just because they want to have a social club versus those who are leading because they are passionate about the call to Christ. There's a big difference. I mean, you can see that. You can see churches that are like that. You can see groups that are like that, and they've lost their way, and it'll end up where it's supposed to. It'll end up dying. But those that are passionate about the call to Christ in their life, that's the vision you want to give people.
I don't know, with the classes we've been a part of, we've always had a vision statement and a class verse, and you may already have that, but it's just a way to go back and just repeat that and just have the class know that, you know.
That answer it? Does that make sense?
It does, and I think for me, I think it's, I feel like it sounds this generic statement, mm-hmm. but I just need to say it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I know, I think we're accomplishing what we need to accomplish. It's just
the class will benefit from that too. And saying it over and over.
Yeah.
I mean,
you are doing the very same thing that Paul did. I mean, so I'm not trying to vary it. I'm not trying to come up with anything different. Paul taught it to his people in Ephesians. He taught it to, or in Ephesus. He taught it to his people in Galatia. He taught it to people, and Christ told them, go out two by two. We are repeating what they started. And in a very, very short breath of time, my time is done. And within 50 years, most of us are gone from, that's it. So you've got a short window of time to do something really cool in the body of Christ, and don't waste your time. You know, do it with a long-term mindset and say that I want to be part of reproducing the body of Christ. We're going to have fun along the way, but this is the real reason we're doing this.
So, I don't know, we could probably
get
last question,
okay.
My class that I'm part of, we just were able to start a new class. But it literally, Matt's started a new class, and so his is literally started last week, so I know that's why
cool.
we were asking about
Great.
The class. But wondering if, like, I know you started several classes. Is there ever a time where, let's say, 3 or 4 months, somehow, you know, numbers rise, where it's too soon to start a new class because we just started? You know, have you ever experienced where it's like, started, there's not, you're trying to build unity.
Yeah.
And to kind of birth a new class again, maybe to just...
Yeah, you got to give it... It's kind of that life cycle. I mean, you don't want to launch too early because you're just too young to end up creating too many problems. Now, if you've got solid... We've literally done a class where we did two launches at the same time. So we had a singles class that was well over 100. We were gigantic. We had it in the gym. It was 100. We were running over 100 every Sunday. It was gigantic. We literally split it up into three. And they all had it was elevate, illuminate, and then culminate or something. Literally, they all had 8 at the end of them. And so we broke it up into three, and it worked out well because we had a big range of ages. So we had 20 to 25, 25 to 30, and then over 30. And so we just, you know, broke it up into three. So sometimes you may have enough bandwidth to multiply two kids at the same time. That's legitimate. If you got enough, you know, sometimes those big classes, you got a lot of depth. You've got more than one apprentice teacher going that are fully capable of leading. You got more than one director in the wings. And so sometimes that happens. Other times you may just need to just keep simmering, keep going, and let it play out, but then you might be on a curve that's a little faster than some. That's a good problem to have. So, all right, so we've got a little bonus here. So you got the card, Lance. All right, Lance has a card here. So I need to know what are, let's see, what do we want to ask this time? Same question, the barrier or the, okay. So what's one of the main keys that we talked about as far as starting a new class? What's one of the main things that you need to do to start a new class?
Be courageous.
Be courageous is one of them. What's
casting the vision?
Casting the vision is good, but having this person that
raise up a new teacher.
The 9-month apprentice is what I was looking for. So there you go. All good things. Y'all got lots of points. But I was looking for the 9-month apprentice. So, well, thank you, Lance. All right, let's pray, and I'll get y'all out of here when you eat some more food. God, thanks for this night, Lord. I pray for every person and every heart that's in here. I thank you that they are passionate about their walk with you. I thank you that they're passionate about seeing your kingdom grown. And your kingdom expanded. And so I pray for every ministry that every person's involved in here. And Lord, I know that we're all over the board. And so Holy Spirit, speak in a way that meets each person where they are. I pray that there's something in here that is a nugget that Ben was talking about that they can take back and use in their ministry to glorify you and lead people to the cross. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And get a book.
Yeah, yes. The books are over there.
In that little brown box.
We should have enough, I think. So grab one.
Yeah, you too, Mike. I'll have a good weekend. What? That's the plan. This is our first Midnight Madness.